Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and it is verses 13 through 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. The things that had happened were Jesus' crucifixion. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Throughout Easter and these Pentecost seasons, we have been on a journey theme. We reflected on passages that highlighted those elements of what we needed for the faith journey: trust, call, listening to God's voice, like sheep who recognize the call of their shepherd, even mixed in with all the other flocks at the drinking well; conversion; healing. And then over the summer months, we've covered a number of travelers: Adam and Eve, Moses, Ruth, Jonah, the Good Samaritan. Without hitting you over the head with it, pun intended, of course, this is the reminder of why there's a walking stick in the sanctuary. Remember? Yes. Today, on our last travel-themed morning inside the building, we meet two travelers on the road. Two sad, dejected travelers. At least that's how they are at the beginning of the passage. Let down. Crestfallen. In one small phrase, But we had hoped. They will break your heart and remind you of your own broken heart. But we had hoped. By the end of the passage, the tone has changed. They have journeyed with Jesus without knowing it. They have shared their pain, their broken hopes and hearts, and they have invited Jesus in. In the breaking of the bread, then, they recognize him. At the beginning of the story, though, is only deep grief. The hope of a risen Messiah is gone. Cleopas and his companion have left Jerusalem and are headed for the comfort and safety of home. You can picture them, can't you? Heads down, knocking pebbles out of the way with their sandals, perhaps mumbling to one another about the strange happenings during the past 2 days, all while they trek the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It is an unhappy scene. No excitement, no celebration. The only spark of energy is the disbelief of the two companions when the stranger walks up. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? And so they share their story and their hopes and their sadness. The stranger responds, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Did Jesus not have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning Christ. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus opens the scripture concerning himself. This is the transition in the story. Cleopas and the companion are so confused by the events in Jerusalem. That line, "but we had hoped," just hangs out there. It holds all their grief and their deep loss of light. It speaks to the type of darkness in which faith is hard to muster. And in the midst of that lack of belief, Jesus speaks the word of God while they listen and see hope again. I wonder what scriptures Jesus used to remind them of the Hebrew prophecies. Maybe the words of Isaiah's suffering servant, "He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Or the reminder of shining hope in Malachi, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Whatever the reminders, slowly on that walk, light begins to break in the hopeless darkness of Cleopas and the companion as they listen to Jesus. And yet, even with that light, their eyes are still kept from recognizing him, which is weird, right? I mean, after all, they had experienced all of these days with him. They have witnessed, they have heard him preach, and yet they completely miss that Jesus is standing there in their midst. But how many times have we experienced Jesus in our lives and then completely miss him in some other moment? Sometimes it's sheer distraction that keeps us from realizing Jesus is present. Sometimes it's our own grief or disappointment which blinds us from noticing. Cleopas and the companion are not the only ones left with shaky skepticism and hearts slow to believe. And yet, in those times, like the two travelers, is there still not some moment that comes to us to help give us faith? Some word or experience of God that changes the tone of our grief or anxiety? A friend of mine tells a story of doing a 5-day food and water challenge. The purpose of the challenge was as an act of solidarity with brothers and sisters across the globe to eat as the bottom economic half of the world does every day. Her 3 meals a day were oatmeal, a tortilla, rice, and beans for lunch, and for dinner, rice with bits of fish or chicken and a vegetable. The only thing she drank was tap water. It wasn't an easy challenge, and she shared that a few days in, she knew she needed to open her Bible for some sort of promise or special encouragement, and so she did one of those random flip and points to see what might turn up. Isaiah 55 is what turned up. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. 7 miles is a lengthy hike. At a travel pace of about 15 minutes a mile, these two listened to Jesus for almost 2 hours. That's a 2-hour sermon. Shall we try it? No way. I'd bore myself after a half hour. But not the two followers of Jesus. They listened. Even when their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus, they listened to the word of God from someone who they thought was a stranger walking with them from one town to another. Scripture calls us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Connecting to Scripture is an important way for us to connect to God, recognizing more fully God's presence in our lives. Simply paying attention, looking for signs of God in the world, is another way to experience Jesus and hope, even when all hope seems lost. Where have you seen God lately? That's the question our youth have been asking each other since Triennium. Great question, right? So I asked Hannah, our youth deacon who shared this with me and has been asking this question lately to the other youth, where she had seen God lately. She could answer immediately, which means she definitely has been thinking about this. She told the story of being stuck running an errand with a friend. She didn't want to go, and she certainly was annoyed that she got stuck doing the driving. And at some point on the drive, she had stopped at a stop sign, and when it wasn't his turn, a pedestrian crossed right in front of her. We've all been there, that moment you don't want to wait for someone, but we're stuck doing it anyhow. Halfway through the crosswalk, the man looked directly at Hannah and smiled. A reminder of joy, even in the midst of annoyance. It caught her off guard, and it reminded her of God's presence in her life, an errand transformed. When we open ourselves to God by paying attention, God shows up. Cleopas and the friend traveling, even in their own grief and their own crushed hopes, listen openly as Jesus speaks to them, paying attention. Hardly able, yet still open to God's presence. Although Jesus teaches and reveals God's word on the road, although the travelers are paying attention, it is not until Jesus is invited in and breaks bread with them that he is truly revealed to the two travelers in Luke's passage. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." Although hospitality was valued much more during the first century, I believe the travelers were doing more than just being hospitable. They had heard what this man had taught them. Because they had listened so well, they'd paid attention, and they wanted to spend more time with him, so they invited him into their home. Jesus might have walked right out of their sight, but because he was invited, he stayed. Hindsight is 20/20 for Cleopas, and the friend. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Although they look back and think they had already known Jesus on the road, they were kept from the truth of Jesus until he was invited in for the ordinary experience of having dinner. And then in the breaking of the bread, after he had been listened to and invited in, Jesus revealed himself. We too, like these two companions of our passage this morning, have our eyes opened when we invite and pay attention to Jesus in the ordinary places of our lives and see his presence among us. This is communion, experiencing Jesus' presence with us. Henry Nouwen, a popular contemporary spiritual author, writes of Jesus being revealed in our own lives in his book, With Burning Hearts. Eucharist is recognition, he writes. It is the full realization that the one who takes, blesses, breaks, and gives is the one who, from the beginning of time, has desired to enter into communion with us. Communion is the deepest cry of God's and our heart. Because we are made with a heart that can be satisfied only by the one who made it. God created in our heart a yearning for communion that no one but God can and wants to fulfill. God knows this. We seldom do. We keep looking somewhere else for that experience of belonging. We look at the splendor of nature, the excitement of history, the attractiveness of people. But that simple breaking of the bread, so ordinary and unspectacular, seems such an unlikely place to find the communion for which we yearn. Still, Nouwen reflects, if we have mourned our losses, listened to Jesus on the road, and invited him into our innermost being, we know that the communion we have been waiting to receive is the same communion he has been wanting to give. Like the companions on the road to Emmaus, may the actions of sharing, listening, paying attention, and inviting be the ways Jesus and the Holy Spirit can give you bread for the journey, nourishing communion, full grace and peace, so that our eyes may be opened to Jesus' presence, and so that we may live. Amen.